market participants see an emerging gun control story in the mayhem in Las Vegas today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Now that authorities have identified what they're calling the lone assailant in the Las Vegas mass shooting, a 64-year-old Nevada man, there's so many questions that remain even beyond motive, including what type of weapon could cause this level of carnage. Recordings from the scene suggest some kind of military-style assault weapon, and CNN is reporting that as many as 10 weapons were found in the dead suspect's hotel room. We just checked, and the stocks in two of the largest firearms manufacturers are up today. Storm Ruger stock had fallen 1.6% on Friday, but is up 3.7% right now. Rob Cox is global editor at Reuters Breaking Views.
Over the past 8.5 years, you've had this volatile situation where every time there's some sort of mass shooting like Newtown, like Orlando, and now like Las Vegas, the stocks have gone up, largely in response to concerns that there may be new tightening of regulations on buying guns or on gun ownership. And that has actually driven a lot of the buying that actually has given these guys a lift over the past 8 years.
The former Smith & Wesson, now renamed American Outdoor Brands, that stock is up 3.7% after falling on Friday. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai's term is expiring soon, so today the Senate is scheduled to vote on granting him another term. The vote is almost certainly will go Pai's way, and that could mean a change in direction for something important, the FCC's rules on network neutrality. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
FCC rules on net neutrality say that all internet traffic needs to be treated equally. Internet service providers like Comcast and Verizon can't speed anything up or throttle anything back. They're what's known as common carriers. Tim Carr is with Free Press, a nonprofit group that advocates for net neutrality.
And being a common carrier means that you have to carry all of the content equally.
Pai was an FCC commissioner when the net neutrality rules were approved in 2015. He voted against them, saying the regulations were too broad. Evan Schwartztrauber is with Tech Freedom, an industry group that's counting on Pai to roll back the rules now that he's FCC chairman. Schwartztrauber describes them as
a whole morass of regulations that the FCC can pick and choose to selectively enforce to do anything that it thinks will, you know, hold a company accountable.
Pai is expected to prevail, and when he does, net neutrality advocates like Tim Carr say they'll sue. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
All right, cue the law professor.
These are the most significant cases about workers' rights in a generation.
He's referring to a group of cases that the new U.S. Supreme Court is hearing beginning today, oral arguments about companies that make employees use arbitration, not the courts, to hear disputes. At issue is employees banding together in class actions. Professor Emery Salahi is at Loyola University New Orleans College of Law, who's just waded through data on the 100 largest companies in America and found that arbitration is, what's the right word, Professor, widespread?
80 of America's top 100 companies have recently used arbitration clauses for workplace-related disputes. And these are companies like Amazon, AT&T, Best Buy, Dell, Pepsi, and the list goes on. I looked at the Fortune 100, and these companies represent more than $7 trillion in annual revenue. These are the most powerful companies in America. So if you're stuck with an arbitration clause as an employee, you can't really sue in court, and you lose all the broad procedural protections available in court.
For stuff like what? I mean, if you feel that you've been underpaid or sexual harassment, even that?
Yes. These clauses typically cover every possible claim. Wages, you're harassed, victim discrimination, or even sexually assaulted by a coworker. If the arbitration law controls in these cases, and if your boss slipped a tiny arbitration clause into the company manual or your application from years ago, your lawsuit will be kicked out of court and you lose the ability to proceed collectively as a class action or all the broad procedural protections available in court.
So you don't get court, but there is a due process here. It's just the arbitration due process.
Yes, it's very minimal, but it's a polar opposite in almost every way to what happens in court. Just to give you an example, arbitration is typically very confidential. So if you're suing your boss, you may not even have the ability to ask a friendly coworker to come testify on your behalf to support your case.
From the company's perspective, this might save them money.
Yes, yes. I think that's why this is so attractive to companies. You know, I have nothing against arbitrators. They can be just as competent as a judge, but you're stuck in a system that's very secretive and with less procedural protections. It'll be harder to prove your claim as an employee if you have to proceed individually as opposed to collectively in a class action.
Emery Salahi is a professor at Loyola University New Orleans College of Law who's just completed a survey of to what extent America's biggest companies make employees sign away their right to sue. Professor, thank you for the briefing.
Oh, thank you so much, David.
And before we go, the White House chief economic advisor had more hints about a tax break that might be crafted to persuade U.S.-based multinational corporations to bring back profits currently parked overseas. In an interview on Fox News Sunday, Gary Cohn was talking about a 10% special incentive rate versus about a 39% top tax rate now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.